And by the way, Wednesday night, we are having a praise and worship service here for Thanksgiving. We usually do this as like a little tradition here at the church here. If you have a song, if you have a testimony, if you have a poem, whatever it may be, come out. And let's give thanks to God in heaven for what he's done for us for this past year. And you know, if nothing else, if you think you ain't got nothing else to praise him for, if you're born again here, praise God, that is enough right there to praise him for eternity. Is it not? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to be over in 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. You can turn there. I'm going to be preaching out of that right there. But before I read the scripture text this morning, let me give you a quick synopsis or an overview of what's going on before I get to this morning's scripture. The story actually starts out in 1 Kings chapter 13. And what again, we find a young unnamed preacher, and I call him a preacher, it's a prophet. We call him a young man, was sent by God to the northern kingdom of Israel out of Judah. And what he was doing, he was there to send it to the evil king up there at the time, Jehoram, to pronounce judgment on the nation of Israel. That's what he was sent about. The preacher is to go and to say what he has to say, then leave and come the same, then leave the same way that he came in. And he was not to stop, he was not to eat, he was not to drink, he was not to do anything. He was going to go in there, deliver the message, and get out of there. And you know, in the word of the Lord, and here's what it said in 1 Kings 13. You can read it, or you can turn it, or you can, to 13, the second verse. By the word of the Lord, he cried out against the altar, 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 what is what the Lord says? A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priest of the high places and who will make offerings there, and human bones will be burned on you. And then it goes on to say, and he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are thereupon shall be poured out. And it was done. And Jehoram, whenever he was there, what he was doing, he was sacrificing on that altar at Bethel. That's what he was doing. He was sacrificing to a false god. And whenever the unnamed priest or the unnamed preacher got there, he cried out this, what he said right there. And Jehoram was going to reach out his hand and tell his people to come and get him out of there. Well, his hand withered up. And whenever it withered up, he cried out. He knew that the prophecy was right. So he cried out to this unnamed preacher and he said, listen, pray for me. And he did. And whenever he did, his hand returned to normal. But, you know, after he did that, the king, he asked him, he said, won't you come to my palace, he said, and get something to eat and something to drink. And he said, I'll take care of you. And the preacher said, no. Even if you'd give me half of your kingdom, he said, I will not go. He said, I can't go. He said, God has commanded me to do what I'm told to do. So you said, the young preacher leaves the king's palace and he's heading back to Judah. Well, when on his way there was an older preacher, an older prophet in the kingdom that had heard what had happened. So what's he do? He sets out to find this other prophet, this young preacher. He sets out to find him. Well, he finds him. And he said, well, what it is God's presenting another test to him, to this young preacher. Well, what happens whenever the older preacher gets there, he said, why don't you come with me back to my house and eat and drink, and I'll take care of you there. And he said, and the young preacher said, I can't do that. God's told me not to do it. Well, you know what the old preacher does? He tells him, well, the angel of the Lord's talked to me also. And God's talked to me, and he said, you come. He said, you can come back to my house and tell me about your story and tell me what's going on. And you know what? That young preacher did that. He stopped, he turned around, he went with this old prophet, this old preacher. And when he got to the old preacher's house, he sat down and he started to eat and he started to drink. And you know what happened? The word of the Lord came upon that old prophet, and he said, you know what? Before you get to your journey's end, he said, you'll not be able to go to die in your country because God will have judgment upon you. And you know what? The old preacher lied to him. Can I tell you something here this morning? Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are going to be people that are going to lie to you. They're going to tell you things that sound great, but that's not the truth. Well, this is what happened here. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the words of the Lord, saying, bring him back into thee thine house, that he may eat and drink water. But you know that he lied unto him. And he said, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Needless to say, God wasn't pleased. Needless to say, God wasn't pleased. After he left the old preacher's house, as he's heading back, said a lion attacked him, killed him, didn't tear up his carcass, didn't kill his donkey, but that lion stood right beside the carcass of that young preacher along the road, stood there. Well, the old prophet had heard, that old preacher had heard that, so he went out and he found his body. There was the donkey and there was the lion. He grabbed that young preacher up, put him on his donkey, and took him back to where he lived. And then you know what he did along, you know what he did after that? He said, listen, I know that what he said was truth. I'm going to bury him in my tomb where I'm going to be buried. Then the story goes that the old preacher told his sons, what did he tell him? He said, you bury me in the same tomb with this young preacher. You bury me in there. And you know, I thought about this strange, kind of a strange story, is it not? Kind of a strange story, but this is where it gets interesting. Listen, and when the old preacher died, he was too, was buried. Now let's travel 315 years into the future. 315 years from the time that this prophecy, the time this died. And that's what we're going to pick up in 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. If you would, I believe it is the 16th verse, if you would. If you can able to stand here this morning, let's stand and let's read it here this morning together. 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. Now, what was the name of the king that was going to come along in the future? Josiah, right? So here it is. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres, he spied the graves that were on in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed. The man of God that proclaimed that was that young preacher many years ago who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is it that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things which thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, and let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity to preach here this morning. Thanking you for the word of God, Lord. Thanking you, Father, for what you've done and how you've done it in my life, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray, Father, that for the hearts and the minds of those that are here in this church here this morning, I pray that their hearts will be opened. I pray that their minds will be opened. And I pray, Father, that the anointing will be upon me, Lord. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've titled this sermon this morning, Buried with the Bones of the Prophets, is what I've titled it this morning. Now, we find Josiah is the king now. This has been prophesied. And you know what? He had been king since he was 8 years old. Now, I can't even imagine, but he was king when he was 8 years old, and he's now 26 years old when I read this scripture to you. The hand of God had fallen upon him. Revival had broke out in his heart. The anointing of God was upon him, and he ordered the restoration of the temple which had been neglected. And can I tell you, whenever they were starting to restore the temple, they got to looking into it, and guess what they found? They found the Bible. They found the law. Isn't it sad? Is it not sad to think about it? But it is true in this country today. The Word of God is not being preached in a lot of the churches today. A lot of the Bible is not being taught at home. There's more dust on the Bibles at home than in anything else, it seems like, anymore. But this is what happened. They go into the temple and they find the law. And they start reading it. And Josiah, they said, you read this to me, what's going on? They found the ancient scroll. And written in the scroll was the book of the law. So in the law, they had it read to him. True heart repentance. Can I say this to everybody in here this morning? True heart repentance fell over him. And can I tell you, whenever true repentance falls over you, I'm going to be bold, I'm going to be blunt with you, there will be a change in your life. True repentance brings change. It doesn't bring partway change. It doesn't bring halfway change. True repentance will bring change in your life. It fell over him and for the nation which he had been put in charge of. In 2 Kings 22:11 it says, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. He was sad at what had happened in his nation. And an anointed indignation fell over this king from God. And it built up inside this king. And you know what? He started at the temple. And the priests that served the temple under past kings, and he got rid of them because they had worshipped and sacrificed to these false gods and they had lied to the people. Then he went to the outlying towns of Judah. And what he did, he did the same. The idols that were there on every hill, every house that had anything in it to worship, every neighborhood and every living room, everything was taken out of it and it was destroyed. He had all the altars, all the groves, and had been built to Baal and to Ashtaroth and to Moloch and to Chemosh. He had them all torn down. He had them removed. He had them broke. He had them cut down. He had them ground up into powder and he had them burned. That's what he did. Everything. Listen, oh, for a nation that had a leaders like that today. Amen? Oh, for a nation that had leaders like that today, that everything, you know what, that this world considers great and good would be taken out and burned and destroyed and ground into powder and got rid of. Oh, for a nation like that. But it's not that way. He did everything, every article of clothing that they worshipped with. He did every image. He had every sight. He took place. He cut it down. He got rid of it. He had everything ground. He totally purged the nation and he removed every statue out of it. He broke down every image. He had all the priests that served at these temples that did this. He had them killed, every one of them. He wanted no more remembrance of it, none. He had every fortune teller, had every one of them confined in, and anybody that confided in them, he had them destroyed as well. By the time he was done, he had purged the nation of idolatry and had spread across which had spread across that nation like a cancer, to the point to where the scripture says this about King Josiah. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like unto him who turned to the Lord as he did. With all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. None. There was not a one after that. So in this morning scripture, we find Josiah doing something else. He come upon the graves that were around there. All the graves that were around there. And you know what he did? He had every grave opened. He pulled out the skeletons of every one of them that had worshipped and that in the past. He pulled them out of their graves and he laid them out. They had their bones burnt and ground into powder. Every one of them. And then guess what happens? As he's doing that, can you imagine, by the way, can you imagine all the skeletons and all the bones laying around? He wanted to purge that nation of everything. And that's what he did. He wanted to get rid of every memory. And then to grind them up and to burn them as well. And as Josiah is having come upon this grave, and he said, "What is this grave right here?" He said, "What's this grave right here? It's got something above it." He said, What's that said? And he said, "What title is that I see?" And the men of the city told him it was the sepulcher of the man of God. See, and he said, "Well, was he a good guy?" He said, "Yeah, he was a good guy. He prophesied of you." He said, "Leave his leave his grave alone. And as he started to walk off, the people there said, hold it, there's more bones in here. And they told him, well, it's the prophet that was the old prophet that told about this years ago. And he said, well, leave his bones alone too. And you know, can you hear Josiah saying that as he left? So what in the world is this? The king said, leave those bones alone. And as if the other gods were not going to touch either one of them. Now listen, you see, the old preacher, and I want to go back to him, knew just exactly what he was doing. You know why I say that? Because he said, bury my bones with his. He knew that what that preacher was saying wasn't going to be popular. He knew that what he was saying wasn't going to please all the people, but he knew that one day there was going to be something that was going to happen. And he said, you know, they're going to take all these other things. They're going to tear down all this other stuff. But you know what? They're going to leave his bones alone. And he knew that. And praise God, he did it. He knew the message of holiness was not going to be popular. He knew the message that we have no other gods before him wasn't going to be popular right then. He knew that the cancel culture wasn't going to come after them. He knew that this young preacher was saying wasn't going to be popular. But you know what? He knew there was coming a day when, praise his name, whenever it was going to be popular. Can I tell you this morning, praise God, you may be sitting here today. We live in a broken world. And what we stand for and what you preach and what you say, if you're standing for Jesus in the right way, isn't going to be popular. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter what they think one day, because one day, we're going to have a God that is going to come up and he's going to set his kingdom up here on this planet. And it doesn't matter what they say. Bury him in the tomb, for when I die, I want to be buried with that preacher. I want to be buried with his bones. I come here this morning to preach to the church of 2025. I come here to preach to you this morning. I'm preaching to a church that's surrounded by a strange world. They're surrounded by strange principalities and powers. I know serving Jesus isn't popular today. I know serving God isn't popular today. I know that the council culture will come after you in certain instances today. And I know the message we bring isn't popular. And I know that holy living isn't popular today. But can I tell you something? I don't care what they think about it. I'm still going to live for Jesus today. But you better get buried. You better get buried with the same things. And you better immerse yourself in these things. Because there's coming a day when judgment is coming upon this planet. And the Bible tells us, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God one day. For we must, what? All appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. And I don't plan on being a part of this world. I plan on being a part of the plan of God. How about you this morning? That's what I plan on. I plan on being buried with the bones of truth. Don't you this morning? I plan on it. I want to be tied to something that will stand when this world is on fire. Don't let this culture deceive you into thinking that they're right and that you're wrong. And they can do it. They're pretty slick. The devil's slick about doing that. And marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He can trick you in just a heartbeat. And ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There is a highway that is called holiness. Amen? And praise God, I believe that born again, bought by the blood Christians should walk on that highway. Over in Isaiah, and in a highway shall there be, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Amen? The unclean shall not pass over it. Amen. Can you hear? I'll tell you, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man though, and the fool shall not err therein. And there's a place that's called heaven that I want to go to one day. I want to be buried with that truth. And there is a name that is above every name. And I want to be buried with that truth one day. There is a name above all names, and that name is Jesus. The name of Jesus, that every knee should bow. And that everything in heaven and earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm telling you, you better grab a hold of that truth if you don't grab a hold of nothing else here this morning. I want to be buried with those bones. How about you? Here are some bones. The Word of God. The Word of God. There's a bone we need to be buried with and stand for eternity. The grass will withereth. Amen. The flowers fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever. Now, listen to this. I wrote it down. God impressed this upon me this week. And I said CNN and ABC and MSNBC and Fox News and the NBA and the NFL and the NHL and the NCAA and the RNC and the DNC and the LGBTIQQ will all fade away one day. Amen? But guess what? The B-I-B-L-E. Amen. Amen. All those things, all those acronyms, all those things, they're going to fade away one day. But praise God, the Bible is going to stand the test of time. And when this world is on fire, I praise God, the Bible will still be standing as truth. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken one day. Everything. Hebrews 12:27. And this word yet once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Can I tell you something right now? The Word of God cannot be shaken. The Word of God will not be shaken. It cannot. The Word has been tried. They've tried to burn it. They've tried to ban it. They've tried to disrespect it. They've tried to outlaw it. Praise His name. But the Word of God will always stand the test of time. I forget what it was, some printing press years and years ago. This guy was an atheist and he bought it. And he said that before he bought it, he said that the Word of God would be non-existent within, the Bible would be non-existent within a certain amount of time. And guess what? There's this Bible place ended up buying it after he died, and they print Bibles there now. I mean, it's here to tell you, praise God, the Word of God will stand. I thank God for every jot and tittle that's in this book. I praise God for every miracle that's in this book. Do you not? And I praise God for every miracle that's sitting in here today that's been born and bought by the Word of God, that the Word of God has been preached to you or taught to you, and that you've learned that, you know what, the salvation comes by no other name except Jesus. I stand on the promises of this book this morning. How about you? For all the promises of God are what? In Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Every promise that's in this book is yes, and praise God. I tell you what, I stand upon that this morning. We serve that kind of God. The principles that are in this book, I stand by those principles here this morning. How about you? Everything that's in here, I stood on them, and they are sure. The Word of God is what? It is quick, it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Brothers and sisters, you can't get away with nothing. You're not going to get away with nothing. The Word of God tells us that you're not. And you better get a hold of this book and never let go. And when you go to the grave and be buried with it, praise His name, and your mind, have it saturated in your mind and in your soul. Because I'm telling you, when you die and go out of this world, it's awesome to know that I've been around lots of saints of God that whenever they were on their last breath and on their deathbed, guess what? Guess what mattered to them? It mattered that Jesus was in their heart. It didn't matter that they knew the Word of God. Amen. Another bone is the church. You know that? The body of Christ is going to stand the test of time. The true body of Christ. Can I have an amen? And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall what? They shall not prevail against it. Nothing is. When the ungodly are being blown away like the chaff, My Bible tells me that, brother and sister, that the church is going to be standing. The church is still going to be here. When the ungodly are being judged, praise his name, the true church of God is still going to be the true church of God. When the ungodly are hearing, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, the church shall be hearing, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant, one day. Aren't you glad for that, to know that in your heart this morning? Can I tell you something? If you are not assured that you're saved here this morning, this altar is open. My Bible tells me that it is a no-so salvation. You know whether you're saved. You don't have to come and shake my hand and let me know that you're saved. You know for sure that you're saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. People can mock the church, but it'll stand. People will ridicule the church, but it's standing. And when the world's in turmoil, this church of God, the true church of the living God, will still be standing. Because it's still the bride of Christ. Still the bride, and it will stand the test of time. Because we are the light in a dark world. I'm talking about the true church. You are the light in a dark world. You are the salt that gives this world the flavor that it needs. You are that this morning. Praise his name. You don't think for a minute that whenever this whole world start ridiculing you and friends and family start trying to put you down, praise God, you can tell them, I'm still part of the church of the living God. Ephesians says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom also you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What he's telling us is, I don't care if it's the church down the road. I don't care if it's a church in Ripley. I don't care if it's a church up in Parkersburg. Brother, there are born again, bought by the blood Christians and all of it. And brothers, we are one family. We are one building. We are one people, united under Jesus Christ, the foundation, and through the Holy Spirit, and praise his name. That church that I'm talking about will stand. You can be buried with that bone. And pray, God, I want to be associated with that. And one day, the true church is going home, like I preached about here a couple weeks ago. Hallelujah, we're going home one day. Let this world burn. Let it do what it, but praise God, we are going home one day. My Bible tells me that he's going to set up a new heaven and a new earth one of these days. Amen. When he was on the cross, not a bone of his body was broken. Right? Right. They spit on him. They pressed a crown of thorns upon his head. They beat him. They even took a spear, and pierced his side. But not one bone was broken in him. Folks, the church can be cursed at. It can be ridiculed. Brothers, it can be laughed at. But the true church will never be broken. Never be broken. Amen. Praise his name. Don't let the deception drive you from a church. Don't let it do that. I'm going to heaven in the church one day. And I praise God. I'm telling you. And God, I tell you what. If you are here this morning and you are thankful that God has saved your soul and you're going home one day, let's stand and give him a praise. Stand up this morning and praise his name and thank him for what he's done. He deserves that. He deserves it. We don't, listen, brother, it's not Drift Run that deserves it. Praise his name. It is Jesus Christ that done the work. His church is going home one day. God bless every teacher in this church. God bless every trustee and deacon in this church. God bless every piano player and singer in this church. God bless every program director and everyone that has outreach in this church. And God bless everyone that shows up week after week to listen to this no-account worthless person up here sometimes. And I thank you for that. Because you know what? You decided you belong to something that will stand the test of time. You decided that. You decided that. Praise God. Now, can you imagine, Greg, what heaven's going to be like when we all get there and do that? Can you imagine that? Man, praise His name. When we're all there praising His name. Listen, you know what? If you don't want to praise God down here and give Him the glory down here, you don't want to go to heaven. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to be endless praise and glory to who? Not to me, not to Billy Graham, but to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The prayers, listen, you can imagine what it's going to be like one day. And listen, another bone that we can hang our hats on and be buried with, the prayer that you pray today, that prayer life that you have, that prayer that you pray, that prayer goes on through eternity, amen? It goes on. It never goes. It never gets away. But the Bible tells me that you know what up in heaven? They have it up there and it's stored up there. And praise God, it's never going to go out. Your prayers that you pray, a faithful, heartfelt prayer is up there. And when He had taken the book, the 24 and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. Amen. Never go wrong when you pray. You're never going to go wrong when you pray. Can I tell you something? Listen, there are times you probably don't feel like praying. Been there. Haven't you? I've been there sometimes. I've been there. But praise God, you know what? The Bible says even when you don't know what to pray for, what happens, Greg? The Holy Spirit does it for you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And listen, can you imagine the Holy Spirit praying for you? You don't think that's up there? That isn't up there? Praise His name. I think about that every time, whenever they say that. And you know what? Another is worship. That's another thing that, you know what, we need to be buried with. John saw a great multitude. And it says this, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And what were they doing in verse 10? And they cried without with a loud voice. Salvation belongs to who? To our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The one who bought our salvation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't want to worship and praise Him, just stay down here. Because I want to tell you what, I want to go there and I want to worship and praise Him as far as eternity goes. That's what I want to do. Thank God for the opportunity to do that one day. Thank God for that. Listen, I believe when you lift those hands down here, I believe when you praise unto God, when you shout praises towards heaven, I believe like those praises are recorded up there in heaven. I believe that they are. And I believe, brothers, that don't ever think down here, let anybody take your praise away from you. Don't let anybody take your shout away from you. Don't let anybody take your testimony away from you. Praise God, you get it up and you give it as much as you can give it. And you let the Holy Spirit guide you. And you get up and you say, thank you, Lord, for the praise, for what you've done for me. Oh, praise God. Yeah, I know I went through that long story about that prophet, about that preacher. And that old preacher wanted to be buried with his bones. Can I tell you something? There's a few things we need to be buried with when we go out of this world. Amen. We need to be buried with them right now. But brothers, when we go out of this world, we need to be buried with them then too. Praise His holy name. I tell you, I thank God. Thank God that we are able this morning. I'm telling you, they get a song ready. Julie, can you get a song ready for us this morning? I thought about this. I don't know. Again, I tell you this a lot. I don't know your heart here this morning. And can I tell you something? I hope you understand this. And I say this in a nice way. You could have been coming to church here all your life and still not be saved. You could go to church all your life and still not be saved. And you think, well, that's ridiculous, preacher. No, it's not. I've known of many people that went to church all their life and come to an altar in their late in their life and got saved, but they've been part of a church for years. I'm going to tell you something. You could say, well, I'm young. I got plenty of time. Can I tell you something tonight? This morning? You don't know how kind of time you have on this earth. You don't. You know, I say this again quite often. They give me a little sticker up work that I put on my board up there behind my office, behind my desk. He said, those that wait to the 11th hour to get saved usually die at 10:30. You know, you're not guaranteed that you'll have one more breath. But you know what? Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you could come and you could make it right up here. And you know what? You may want to come up here this morning and pray. You know, I'm not going to judge you because you come up here and pray. Whatever you want to come up here and pray for. You may have something going on in your life right now that you need an answer for. But can I tell you something? You can come up here and get it right with Him. Amen? Listen, you have to be born again to go to heaven. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't care what else you believe on either side of it. When you leave this world, you better be saved. You better be saved. You better have the right bones to be buried with. Amen? What do we got, Julie? Will we stand, please?